Welcome to the Raise Your Bars podcast, where it's all about elevating your life one step at a time. With your hosts, Chris Baker and Al Rattan. Together, we're here to guide you through the transformative journey of self-improvement and success. Have you ever wondered what behaviors and actions you need to change to achieve the results and success you desire in life? Well, you're in the right place. Each episode, we dive deep into the strategies, mindset shifts, and practical steps you can take to raise your bars. From personal development to professional growth, Chris and Al share their expertise, experiences, and the occasional tough love, all designed to empower you to reach your full potential. So, whether you're looking to make a big change or simply fine-tune your path to success, grab a seat and let's raise those bars together. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Chris Baker and Al Rattan.
Well, here we are with, I guess we're doing part two of our series, right, Chris?
We are.
Part two. So we're going through The Secret of the Ages by Robert Collier. And we're actually on chapter two this week and just talking about our thoughts around the chapter. And there's so much gold in this chapter. We're going to do two parts. But first of all, how have you been doing, Chris? I mean, you were gone. You got the privilege of going on a cruise last week with your wonderful wife and celebrated a year of marriage. And and how was it?
It was good. It was good. I actually got time to read this book as well. So that was good. I think I sent you a couple of pictures from there as well of the book with some highlights in there. So, but no, it's good. It's always good to get away and just have that relaxation and downtime. And, you know, I tell people all the time that, what you got to get is that work-life harmony, right? And it can't be all work. You've got to have that downtime. You've got to have that time to enjoy. And when you do that, you come back refreshed, relaxed, and ready to go again. And it also gives you that opportunity to probably study things without that busy noise going on all the time, right? So you can actually study and learn stuff. So
also time just think, right? Just to think. And I think a lot of us, and we've talked about this in podcasts a year ago, about people do not have that time set aside, that time to just spend that time thinking anymore. And you're right, studying and thinking into what you're studying and learning and figuring out how you can apply this in your life or what it means to you in your life and what you're going through at this stage of your life. It's important to discover these things. And I think it helps all of us with that harmony between work and life. So
it does.
Let's dive in. And first of all, you know, before we even get to the author's words, you know, the quote at the beginning of this at the top of this chapter is, "I am the master of my fate and I am the captain of my soul."
Yeah.
I mean, we've all heard that before. But what springs to mind when you think that, right? I think it's like, hey, we have to take responsibility is the thing that sort of first comes to mind to me.
Yeah, exactly. It ties in with what we're just saying out as well, really, right? Where you need that time to stop and think, and, you know, like people say, smell the roses and so on, so you can move forward, right? It's just that time to slow down and think and decide. And again, look at, review and reflect. What have you done? Where are you? And then how are you doing towards your objective? And then move forward. And it reminds me again, there's a quote that in the Emerging Leaders program that I do at Disney, we use a John Maxwell quote, and it's, I'll probably mix it up a little bit, but it's like, you know, people don't control their futures. They control the habits, and it's the habits that control their future, right? It's something along those lines, which is the same sort of thing here. And it's really what bars is.
Yes.
Right. Most people are focused on the results and the success, and they get demoralized if they're not getting the results. They never actually go back and say, hey, what are the behaviors and actions that I need to take every single day consistently to get the results I want?
Yeah.
Right. And what are the behaviors and actions that I'm taking now that are delivering the results I want, and what do I need to change?
Right? Exactly. And I think one of the, you know, we haven't even gotten to the author's words yet here, and we're already almost 4 minutes in, but I think what you said there too is key, is what am I doing consistently daily? Right. And I think a lot of people try to put all this, like, okay, I'm going to change everything in, you know, 1 or 2 days of really, you know, focused work on something, but that doesn't give you lasting results. and success that leads to significance either, right? So that daily consistent activity is going to help you reach those goals, dreams, and desires you have. And if you don't put that in, you're just going to be floundering, and you'll probably be where you are today or further behind a year from now.
Right. And I think that the consistency is key, but also, you know, understanding that good things take time.
Yes. Right?
And we live in what I call a microwave society, where we expect to put everything in, close the door, press the button, and we take out a finished product, right? You know, Amazon is another great example of that. If we have to wait more than 48 hours for an Amazon delivery now, we think there's something wrong, right? Where it wasn't that long ago that a week, 2 weeks was like acceptable for a delivery period, right? For
I live in rural Manitoba, Chris.
I know.
72 hours is normal.
But yeah, but even 72 hours, that's still quick. You think like 15 years ago.
I know.
You know, what would the delivery time have been then? It probably would have been 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Right? What blows my mind today is I can get a package from China quicker than I can get something from within Canada.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's okay with those things, but we then expect it with everything else in our life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we expect
those instant results, the instant gratification, and it's not realistic for things that are worthwhile.
And I think a lot of people have that unrealistic expectation, even walking into jobs these days, right? They walk in expecting they're going to get a senior executive level leadership role and the pay that comes along with it because, I got a degree and it doesn't work that way. But let's talk about this, because talking about age and stuff like that, the one thing, this is like the second paragraph of the second chapter, says the mental age. Now we are entering a new age. He calls it the mental age. Now, remember, this book was written in the 1920s, I believe. So it says, when every man or woman can be their own master, when poverty and circumstance no longer hold power, and the lowliest creature in the land can win a place side by side with the highest.
Yeah.
Side by side with the highest. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to, what were we talking about before? Do we have time to think?
Yeah.
A lot of cases, right? The opportunities are really, truly endless if we're willing to put in the effort.
I think that's right. And we all have to, if we're realistic, right, and we're honest with ourselves, we all have to accept that where we are in life now is a direct result and a consequence of decisions, choices we've made in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody else's fault, nobody else's cause. That is us.
Right.
And therefore, what this is saying again to me is that we all have the power to get anywhere we want to if we do the right things now and we want it badly enough. Right. Mm-hmm. So again, comes back to bars. So you have the power to dictate your future based on the actions that you take daily and consistently.
Well, I know, like, you know, we've made, unfortunately, some, and I'm sure we're not the only folks out there, so this may resonate with some others. We made some poor choices in the past financially, which has caused us to not be in the ideal, you know, at this age, you would expect we would be a little bit further along than we are. We're very happy and content. We have all our needs met, and we make a good living, and we have a nice house and, you know, stuff like that. But I'm just saying that, you know, looking forward to the retirement stage of my life, am I where I wanted to be, where I'm comfortable, you know, with my retirement savings? No. Thankfully, I've still got a number of years to work on that. And I don't plan on ever retiring, to be honest. Like, Chris, you and I, we want to do what we do now, like with the training and development, working with companies and consulting into things. We want to do that forever. I want to do that as long as I can. I look at John Maxwell, our mentor, who's 77, and he says he's still got lots to do. Good for him. That I want to be 77 and have as much energy as he does. So the next line in here, and again, I want to read two lines here right now real quick. Okay. It says the wellsprings of every man's mind or woman's are unplumbed depths, undiscovered deposits of energy, wisdom, and ability. Undiscovered deposits of energy, wisdom, and ability.
Yeah.
I think we just need to take a moment with those words right there. But later on in that page, he goes, for man is just beginning to awaken to his own powers. He is just getting an inkling of the unfathomed riches buried deep in his own mind.
Yeah. I think it's so true. And it's really the next page, I think it's something that really sort of builds onto this that I just want to share, and then we can sort of talk about it. But he talks about how Professor William James, who is a Harvard psychologist, estimated that the average person uses only 10% of their mental power.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that before.
Heard it before.
I think it's a pretty well known. And he goes on to say, with godlike powers slumbering within them, or he says him, right? But we know a person, he is content to continue in his daily grind.
Mm.
Eating, sleeping, working, plodding through an existence little more eventful than the animals. While all of nature, all of life calls upon him to awaken and to bestir himself. That's drifting now, right?
That's drifting. And those are pretty harsh words too. And I could see a lot of people getting offended by those words, but I would just say that if you're offended by those words, you need to examine, are you drifting in life? Are you plodding?
Right.
And I can tell you, like, Chris, I think we've both been at that stage in our life before. We felt like just like, oh, wake up, go to work, come home, eat some food, go to sleep, wake up, you know, do it over and over again. And I don't want to live that life. I mean, I am better than the animals, right? I'm more skilled. I think there's more, you know, it says all of life calls upon him to awaken.
Yeah.
Awaken, get out of that slumber.
Yeah.
Stop drifting through life and really, I'd say start dreaming. What if, what could be, right? Mm-hmm. My son, who's 26, he wants to be a commercial pilot. It's what he's wanted to do since the age of 6. So for 20 years, he's never wavered on the path of being a pilot. He's got his commercial license. He's got his US commercial license. He is being persistent and consistent, waiting for that job to come, because the problem with that is any of the major airlines want you to have X number of hours.
Right.
Well, he doesn't have those amount of hours, and he can't get those amount of hours unless he gets a job with an airline. So it's like that endless cycle. And he's struggling a little bit internally. I can tell he's like hurting a little bit by this, but yet he never gives up. He's still sending out resumes. He's willing to take money out of his own pocket to go put time in the air so he can get more hours, so he can get a job in an airline. And he wants to be a commercial pilot more than anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see that. I see him. He's not plodding along. He may be stuck temporarily here.
Yeah.
His will to succeed in this area is outweighing the desire to quit.
Yeah. Well, and I'll look at this again, Alan, and kudos to your son there. And I wish everybody was like that, right? In reality, not everybody is going to be. And again, if people are offended by those words, to be honest, they're probably not listening to this podcast anyway. Yeah,
sure enough. Right?
But,
sure enough.
But what we're talking about is even if we use the 80-20, right, and even if we said 20% of people, which is a huge amount, because there's probably only about 1 or 2% of people that use things like that, or, you know, study these type of books.
Yeah.
But let's say we could get 20% of the people to buy into this, right, to understand the concepts of it, to agree and say, yes, I'm going to do that. And let's say they increase the amount of their brain power that they're using from 10% to even 15%. That's a 50% increase in the usage of their brain. You've still got 85% to go. So like you were saying, there's always room to keep growing. You're never going to be done. And that's only 20% of the people, right? Well, even if we started with 5 or 10%, right? And even if we can increase our brain power by 1%, and we kept increasing it by 1% every year.
Yeah.
What is the potential we can achieve? It's huge. And that to do that, what we need to be doing, again, in my opinion, is bringing out innovative thinking, right? Solution-oriented thinking, creative thinking. In other words, what we're looking at is to truly believe that anything is possible.
Yeah. I think it goes back to, again, like I know we keep circling back to this, folks, but it's like, when's the last time you actually just spent some time, quieted yourself, and thought into things, right? What you want to achieve. Are you drifting through life? Yeah. Have you reached the goals that you set out to achieve, that you set out to achieve? Are you at the space, the place in your career you hoped you'd be? What can you do to change things so you could get to that place you want to be, financially, career-wise, family-wise, in your community, right? And I think that, again, we get into that. We just get into that mindset of, oh, it's just easier to just sit down on the couch and turn on the TV and check out on life versus actually going out and reaching for your goals. And I know you and I have purposed, right, to continue growing, to read books like this. This book is not an easy read.
No.
It's not a light read. And, but I highlighted so many quotes from it in just the first few pages of this chapter. And it made me think. And it actually even, I would use the word convicted me a little bit, right? Made me look a little bit inside myself and saying, yeah, wait a minute, am I really being the master of my fate, right? Mm-hmm. Am I really the captain of my soul? And at times I think not. And I want to lead that to my next point here. When he starts talking about the mind, right? And he talks about the conscious mind. He says your conscious mind is the porter at the door, the watchman at the gate. It is to the conscious mind that the subconscious mind looks for its impressions, right? So our subconscious mind is only going to believe what we tell it,
mm-hmm.
what we allow it to believe. So if we're always going to walk around saying, you know, I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'm dumb, guess what? Your subconscious mind goes, oh, it must be true. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I'm dumb, right? We've talked about this before. So if you're using those types of words, you need to change your thought patterns, right? But he says, shut the door on every suggestion of fear, worry, or disease. You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Not just fear and worry, but disease as well.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just so good.
But... It is very good and very thought provoking, and really, you can look at it and say it's where what you focus on becomes reality, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And what you focus on is where your energy goes, and if you are focusing on fear, doubt, worry, disease, mm-hmm. what you're seeing and what you're believing is that
fear,
doubt. Poverty, disease, right? And so you know, I used we used this a little bit in the workshop we did in Toronto a month ago now. Can you believe that?
I know. And
I used it today with one of my teams at Disney. It was a values exercise, but part of that, as we're going through it, or as we're getting towards the end, and we were looking at writing a purpose statement, right? So we mm-hmm. were looking at that. And one of the things I said is, like, you know, who here like loves everything about their job, right? And nobody puts their hands up, right? How many of you like truly want to come to work every day, right? And again, nobody really wants to go to work every day, right? We've got the feeling that we have to go to work, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what we have to do. So what we need to do is try and switch that thought process round and say, what is it about your job that you love? All right. What aspect of your job do you love?
Right.
And then we really need to focus on that aspect of it. And we need to say, that's why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff that comes with it is residual. You're going to get stuff that you don't like. If you love everything about your job every single day, then kudos to you. That is amazing and well done, right?
You're probably the only person alive.
Yeah, but that's the utopia. That's what we look for. But in reality, it's probably not realistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you there should be something about your job, about what you do, that you love. So focus on that, then try and like expand that, right? So that it does fill up more of your day and more of your time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was honest and I said, hey, if you don't love anything about your job, you're in the wrong job. Exactly. Right. Let's help you find a different job, exactly. Right? That you can love. Because what we want to do, and what we want to help other companies do and other businesses is help the workforce want to come to work rather than feel they have to come to work.
Yeah.
Then they'll be more productive, they'll be more engaged, more enjoyable, they'll deliver a better results to the in whatever industry you're in. It's a win-win-win.
And guess what? The business's bottom line grows.
Correct.
Right. So yeah, so good. And I think, Chris, like, we're going to do a part two on this chapter because there's just so much good stuff in it, but I want to read one more line. Your mind is the master of your body.
Yeah.
What jumps to your mind when you say something like that, when you hear the mind is the master of your body?
To be honest, when I read that and hear that again, it reminds me of the story in Think and Grow Rich, right? Where you can think yourself ill or you can think yourself better, right? And that chapter there, where there were examples of this same sort of age that this book was written, or time this book was written, where somebody was so seriously ill that they thought they had no chance of survival. The doctors wrote them off, yet they thought, basically, their mind healed them, right? And then there was also the other story of the guy who had done something with the bank and cost the bank a load of money, and he went and he just wallowed in self-pity in the hotel and died, right? Mm-hmm. So he thought himself dead. And so that mind does control your body. Our mind is a super, super computer, like much more powerful than any other computer that exists. And it has tremendous power. So use that power for good and for your benefit. Otherwise, and you've got to do that intentionally, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, the unintentional effect is it will probably make you ill.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the ill could be depression. It could be, you know, or on the other end, you could have joy, right? And I think I think a challenge for our listeners this week, I'm just thinking, is really examine what you're telling your subconscious mind, what you're allowing it to believe.
Yeah.
What kind of thoughts are you thinking to yourself on a daily basis that are detracting from your potential? Abraham Maslow said, we all have unlimited potential. It's up to us to develop that potential.
Correct.
And I think we allow the thoughts we think some days to limit that potential. And so really take an examination about what you're thinking.
Yeah. Well, and I'll add to that as well, because it's not just what you're thinking, but it's what are you listening to? Mm-hmm. Right. So who are you listening to? What are you allowing other people to say about you, or what are you allowing in your mind? So when you look at, are you constantly watching the negative news, right? And then your subconscious mind believe all that's true. Not all of everything you hear on the news or read on the internet is true, all right? Mm-hmm. But our subconscious mind believes it because, again, it doesn't know the difference between positive and negative, right and wrong. It just sees it and just go, oh, there you go, that's reality. But so what are you saying to yourself, excuse me, and more importantly, what are you allowing others to say into your life that you then start to believe?
Right. Good point. Excellent. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. If you got some value from this, please share it. And again, join us on one of the Raise Your Bars Facebook pages. We have the Legacy Creators for men 40 plus. We have the Profit Accelerator. That's specifically for business owners that are looking to grow their bottom line profits. And we have personal growth solutions for everybody. Yeah. So join us there. And thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Yes. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Raise Your Bars podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please consider sharing it with your family, friends, and coworkers. We would sincerely appreciate it.